Well, let's get into the, yes, let's get into the Word. Turn to Ephesians 6, if you would, please. When you find that, stand together with me. We're going to read some of these verses together. We stand in honor of God's Word. Okay, now, I want you to go to chapter, I told you 6. Just flip back to chapter 4. Look at verse number 22. Chapter 4, 22. Let's kind of run up to this thing. Ready? Verse 22, chapter 4. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the, say those next two words. Old man. Yep, that's the old you. Praise the Lord, when you get saved, the old you isn't who you are anymore, is it? You've got, there's a new you. Look on as we read on, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's the key, being renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you don't change the way you think about your life and about what you used to do, then there's no way you're going to come out of it and change. By the way, God wants you to change, but for that to happen, you have to change your mind. Has to happen. Now 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the new man is the new life that God wants you to live in Christ. It's established in Him. He leads you in the way He wants you to go. It's called righteousness and true holiness. Okay? So it's very specific to your life in doing right and living holy. That's the new man. That's what He wants you to be. Now, he goes from there and into a series of topics and subjects that are very specific to new believers and old believers alike who have a tendency to go back to our old ways. And from there, all the way through the rest of chapter 4, all the way through chapter 5, he's telling you, oh yeah, by the way, put off the old you, put on the new you. And he tells you exactly what to do. He comes to chapter 5 in the end, verse number 22. Look what it says. Wives, chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. So now, under the umbrella of putting off the old way you used to do things and putting the new way of doing things, he now tells you how to deal in family relationships. Isn't that exciting? That's just what we need. We need families that are godly. We need wives that learn to operate the way God's designed you to operate. And then he goes to verse 23. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Then that takes it all the way to the end of the chapter. We did two messages on that. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. Let's have that one repeated. Ready, kids? Let's have all the kids, no adults. Now, if I had the adults do this, you'd be shouting it. Let's just have the kids. That's anyone who still lives at home and you don't pay the bills, all right? All kids, verse 1, together, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All right, that was pretty sad. Maybe we should try that again. All together, just the kids, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Much better, much better. Okay, so then we talked to children, didn't we? And all of this has to do with, hey, it's time to put off the old way. It's time to put on the new way, God's way. Well, now we're not done with this family pattern. We're talking to moms and dads today. Yep, it's time to get you, mom and dad. Look at verse 4. And ye fathers, do you think when he says fathers, we're only talking to dads? Nope. Nope, not just talking to dads. We're talking to moms. We're talking to dads. We're talking to grandmas. We're talking to grandpas. Are we talking to anybody else? Oh, yeah. We're talking to everybody in the church who has any kind of influence on kids whatsoever at all. So we all fall into this category. Look what he says, verse 4. And ye fathers, that's everybody by the way, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are going to preach a really exciting message tonight. The title of it's called Parents, comma, Invest in your children. You should note that. I want you to take notes tonight, all of you, from teen all the way up to adults. And kids, take notes just because. It's good, right? Here's the title again. Parents, comma, invest in your children. Let's pray. Father, we pray your blessings tonight. Bless your word. Bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Parents, invest in your children. That's good. That's a good thought. And I really, you know, am excited about what God has already been doing in me through learning what it means to invest. Those of you who were here Sunday, you noticed something, didn't you? When all the kids were up here and they sang, didn't they? How many kids were here? There's about 80, it felt like. Yeah, we had 27 children. 27. That's a lot of kids. Amen. Brother Chad, bless your heart. We praise God whenever you take all them kids out of here. We rejoice. We take a couple minutes of silence. Let's take a couple of minutes of silence, adults, and just praise the Lord. All the kids are gone. No, listen, we had a lot of kids here, and literally on this Sunday, to have 27 kids, those of you who remember, they were bouncing off of the walls. Literally. Some of them were wanting to jump off of the walls. It was a crazy day. And these kids, you know, we have, you know, all of these opportunities for these, for outreach and seeing these kids to mature and grow. Hey, listen, if we invest in these kids, who knows what might happen to these children, that one of them might grow up, one of these boys grow up, find himself at this altar right here, surrendering to be a pastor, and he grows up, goes to Bible college, learns how to preach, goes out here into the world where God wants him to go, and he starts a church or takes on a church. I mean, that's the kids that are here. That could happen. Or one of these little girls that are up here singing, you know? And how precious to see them up here singing, that one of these little girls would grow up and surrender her life for the ministry of God, go off to school and meet some guy who loves God, and no, he's not perfect, but he loves God, and he wants to serve the Lord with his life. He wants to be in the ministry. They meet each other and determine this is what God wants us to get married to each other. And one of these little girls grows up in this church, and we invested in her. She gets married to a guy who goes out here and becomes a missionary or starts a church. And we're talking about the kids that are right here. This is an opportunity, isn't it? Here's the thing, though. Whenever these kids are here, we have to understand that it matters how we minister to them. It matters how we treat them while they're here. We have to treat this like an investment, because that's what it is. In the past, I've had, you know, several families, adults, you know, whether it be teens or, you know, adults that wanted to help out with the youth department, whether it be working with the kids or whether it be working with the teenagers in the youth class. And, you know, so I would let people come in and I would train them and we would work together, and I would learn fairly quickly with some of them. They're not really qualified to work with kids at all. It's not a good connection there. And I remember several times coming into youth activities and this adult that was a helper was in there. I mean, literally just yelling at the teenagers. And I'm thinking, whoa. What's going on here, you know? And I know teens have a way of getting to you. And they sometimes do it on purpose just to see if they can get you to lose it, you know? But, you know, how you deal with the kids, it makes a difference. It matters your temper with the kids. It matters how you treat them. Working with the kids is really important because of the responsibility that's there. I mean, think about it. How many of these kids, as we see them up here, 27 on Sunday, and our heart is to see them go out and serve God in the ministry or live for God. It doesn't mean they have to go out in the ministry. We want to see them grow up and live for God, no matter what they do with their life. Be faithful to God, and God's number one. We want our kids to do that. But often, that's not the case, is it? Often, we'll see these kids grow up, and yes, we invested in them, and we reached out to them. And then as they get older, they start to make decisions on their own. It doesn't include God, does it? And they go down a different path. And our hearts get broken. And so these kids, we reach out to them, and we want to see them live for God, but we lose so many. What about the kids that grow up in church? It's not just the kids that we bring in on the bus, who mom and dad don't care at all. Sometimes it's the kids that grow up in this church, and their moms and dads are here. And then they grow up and go out and do their own thing, and God isn't included in their plans. So it doesn't matter how we invest. The responsibility is great because we don't want to lose our kids. You think this is a new problem? It's not new. Paul is addressing this issue right in this verse. It's something that happened in his day and he wanted to stop it. Obviously, it still happens today. He didn't deal with every detail of the family and trying to fix every problem in the family, but he pinpointed the greatest need, didn't he? As we already read, he went to the wives and he says, listen, you need to be submissive to your husbands. What does that mean?
Do what you're told.
No, it doesn't mean that. It means support them. If your husband is trying to make a decision for the family, whether it be a decision that's for God specifically or a decision that has to do with leadership in the home, God wants wives to support his leadership. The second thing, he deals with husbands. He simply says, husbands, love your wives, doesn't he? Now that is a process. We spent two messages explaining what it means to love your wife. Because, you know, the love that we try to show them at times isn't coming across as love, is it? Like, oh, I'm trying to show you that I love you, but it's not coming across right because we're not doing it God's way. And so he teaches us, husbands, love your wives. And he pinpointed in on that one because that's our biggest problem, guys. It is. We have a hard time showing love, and so, or at least doing it God's way. Then he went to the children, as we saw in verse 1 of our chapter. Children, be respectful. Obey your mom and dad. Verse 2, he says, honor thy father and thy mother. And so it's simply saying tonight, children, be respectful. Be respectful. Now, parents, invest in your children. You know why he brought that up? You know why he's going to deal with this subject of investing? It's because it's the number one thing we struggle with. And it plays the biggest role in their development, is investing in them. So that's what we're going to be dealing with. Paul wanted to give these parents tools to raise their kids for God. Obviously, it's needed because we're losing so many. And so I think we should take notes tonight. You say, I don't have any kids. Are you planning to have any kids? Maybe you should note these things. Yeah. Paul wanted the parents to identify the importance of their role and how important that, listen, what I mean by that is you have, as a parent, no idea how important your role is in the development of your children, that they, in the future, will continue to live for God. And so we need to note this tonight. They won't catch your words, will they? Not nearly as much as they catch your attitude. And so that's what he starts with. Paul addressed your attitude. He said this to the parents, don't let your children catch your bad temper, your bad attitude, your bad temper. Look at verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to, what's that next word? Wrath. Are we all there? We're in Ephesians 6, 4. Let me say that again. Fathers, provoke not your children to what? Wrath. Yeah. So Paul is speaking to the church here, isn't he? We don't know. He's talking to the father. No, he said fathers. It's plural. And the reason why he said fathers plural is because he's talking to the church corporately. He's talking to all of the fathers. He's talking to all of the parents. Everybody. So is anybody released from the responsibility here? No. No, we're all included in this. There's no family that's excluded. There's no church person here that's dealing with children at all that's excluded. This is a commandment to all families. He said, fathers, plural. He's talking to everybody in the church. You say, well, wait a second. You know, I don't have any kids at home. Whew, good thing he's not talking to me. Well, I hate to burst your bubble. He's talking to you because you influence kids. Well, no, I don't. Yeah, you do. You come to Valley Avenue Baptist Church, and we have kids right there. And we have 27 of them last Sunday if you were here. And you cannot help but influencing these kids if you're in this room, in the same room as they are. So we all need this, and there's nobody who's released from this. He says, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Provoke. Provoke. Now, I love to play with my kids. I love to tease my kids. And you might call this mean, but I call it fun, okay? So my kids are whining, you know, once a month, maybe. Now I'm being sarcastic. Anyway, they're whining. And so, you know how at 10, my younger is 5. So no matter which one of them it is, even if it's my oldest, you know, if he's whining, then I'll grab him and I'll pick him up like this. I'll hold him in my arms. And then I'll start to sort of caress him. And I'll say, "Oh, this is your baby. Are you okay? You think he likes that?" He's 8, 10, even my 5-year-old. No, they don't like that at all. Do you know what that's called? Teasing. Teasing. That's not what Paul's talking about here. You know, they get mad at me, but I just pile drive them, right? No, we have fun. We're teasing. That's not what he's saying here when he says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." Now, I want you to go to Proverbs 22. I'm going to show you just what, and we're going to come right back here, but I want you to see what he's actually talking about. Proverbs 22. All right. Let's see if I can find it. Now we're going to go to verse 24. You ready? We all there? Proverbs 22, verse 24. Look what it says. Make no, what's the next word? I just want to be sure you're there. Make no friendship with an angry man. Okay? Don't be friends with an angry man. He goes on and he says, with a furious man thou shalt not go. So in other words, he just basically said the same thing 2 times in that verse. Don't become friends with an angry person. Why? Look at the next verse. Lest thou learn his what? Ways. And get a snare to thy soul. So in other words, you can go back to Ephesians. In other words, what Solomon is saying, don't become friends or close with an angry person. A person who loses their temper. A person who's bitter. A person who is, you know. I mean, they just fly off the handle. I mean, they just lose it, right? Don't be influenced by those kind of people. Why? Duh. You'll be like that. That's what you'll become. Okay, so let's take that reasoning and jump over to our text in Ephesians chapter 4 and really learn what Paul is saying here. He says, fathers, parents, all of you that are here who influence children, provoke not your children to, what's the next word? Wrath. So here's what he's saying. Your anger is contagious. So if you're an angry mom, if you're an angry dad, you are going to produce angry children. That's what he means when he says, provoke not your children to wrath. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Obviously, he's not talking about teasing. He's talking about your kids catching your temper. I mean, they're becoming like you. And so every time mom, dad, adult at church, who's irritated with one of the little munchkins running around here, jumping off of things, every time you lose your cool and you blow up and you know, flames are shooting out of your ears, every time that happens, you are modeling an inappropriate anger to your children. And here's what Paul is saying. You are teaching and they are learning. And so your angry attitude provokes an angry attitude in them. And that's what he's saying here. It's how we deal with our kids. I mean, this is like the foundation of developing your children. It starts with how you relate to them, how you talk to them. If you blow up, if you lose it, then what you're doing is you're provoking the same thing in them. So we got to start right there. Don't do that. We have to go ahead and decide that we're not going to deal with our children in that manner. But it obviously brings a question up, doesn't it? Okay, now, if you are honest in answering this question, every adult hand is going to go up. So don't be a liar, okay? Is there ever a time whenever the children either of your family or of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, has there ever been a time whenever they have really gone on your nerves? Amen. Yeah, all hands go up. So if Paul is telling you, don't lose it, don't blow off on them, you know, and just like shoot flames and burn their head off. Instead of doing that, the obvious question is, then how are we supposed to deal with the kids, right? So what are we supposed to do? And that's what he does next. Okay, so let's take a look at it. Verse 4, he says, provoke not your children to wrath, but, here we go, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what he's saying here, is instead of blowing up on them, biting their head off, go ahead and invest yourself in them. That's what he's saying. Invest in them. So Paul is telling families here that they need to be fully invested in the maturing of their children. He's saying, yeah, it's easy to blow up, isn't it? That's why he's bringing this up. It's not easy to invest. So what is hard to do, not blow up, yes, invest, is what we need to determine to do. We have to determine to do this because it's not going to be natural. So let's talk about bring them up. Let's break it down, understand exactly what Paul is saying here. He said bring them up, right? So this word bring them up means to nurture. Nurture to maturity. It implies that you are fully involved. All of your being is involved with this process of their maturation, right? You are invested. All of you is totally involved. So for that to happen, you cannot be worldly and expect them to be godly. Right? If you're going to bring your children up, and then he said nurture, admonition, we'll talk about that in a minute. So we know we're talking, let's just know that Paul's talking about bringing them up for God, okay? And we see it in the text, but get that in your mind. We're not just talking about, you know, raising good citizens. We want our children to love God. And if you want to do that, then it's going to require you to bring them up. So you can't be worldly and expect your kids to be godly. It absolutely doesn't work that way. You cannot point them to the world for answers and expect them to go to God for answers when they get older. So, you know, they have emotional troubles, don't they? Who has the answer for emotional troubles that we have? God. So if we point our kids to the world for answers, why would we ever expect them to go to God when they get older? You see, we have to be invested in this process and understand that being fully invested means that it's a process, that it's going to take time. Literally, what we're saying here is you cannot tell your kids to do what you say and not what you do. You have to live it. I mean, you have to remember that what you're feeding them is what they're going to grow up to become. So Paul is telling these families that they have to be fully invested in this thing if they're going to see their kids grow up for God. And so that's why he said to start off with, bring them up. Bring them up. Man, I wish I could go on and on about that. But we don't have time. So let's talk about how that is accomplished. Wouldn't you like to know how to bring your kids up? I'm thankful for Paul that he's very specific. The first one, note these things. I hope you're writing things down, okay? So we're talking about bringing your children up. And so how to accomplish this, number one, nurture them. Nurture, that's what he said. Now here's what I want you to write. Write this exactly how I say it. You got your pen? It's kind of a lengthy thing, so do your best. To be fully invested in the maturing of your children, that's what we want to be. So to do that, to be fully invested in the maturing of your children, spend time teaching them about life. Write all of that if you can. Spend time teaching them about life and how to make godly decisions. That's nurture. Okay, that's what it means to nurture, by the way. Let me say it again. This is what I want you to write. Number one, to be fully invested in the maturing of your children, it requires you to spend time teaching them about life and about how to make godly decisions. So to nurture means to be involved with the whole training and education of your children. It relates to the cultivation of their minds and morals. Obviously, it applies to their reproof and punishment. It also includes their training in the care of their body, physically. Teach them how to take care of themselves, right? So all of it's included in this thing. So you have to determine to invest large chunks of your undivided attention to your children. I hope that didn't go over your head, all of us that are needing this tonight. To accomplish this, to nurture your children, it's going to require you to spend large chunks of your, now listen to these two words, undivided attention. What is that? Can we sum that up with a simpler word? Spend more what with them? Time. Nurturing your kids means you're spending time with them. What do you expect? If we want our kids to live for God, we want them to grow up, but we won't spend time with them? There's a good chance it's not going to happen. Because you're not nurturing them. Right? And that seems so practical, doesn't it? But instead, often, here's what we're tempted to do, moms and dads and the rest of us. Let somebody else do that. Yeah, right? Abdicate the responsibility. You know, God said, you nurture them. He told you to bring them up. Now, he's talking to all of us corporately if we're talking about church kids. So we need to give them our undivided attention instead of yelling at them, right? Let's give them our undivided attention. Spend time with them. But we abdicate that, or at least we're tempted to, and let them spend time with something else. We'll send our kids to the TV for hours, but we won't spend time to them. We'll let them play video games for hours. We'll let them look at their phone for hours. What do they do on that thing? Well, if they're this age, they're probably playing Angry Birds or something. But if they're a teenager, they're probably talking to people, texting, social media, you know. I mean, there may be a level of surfing the web, but there's a lot of social networking going on cell phones. In other words, somebody else is nurturing our kids. There's something not moms and dads and parents and get biblical authorities. The world is nurturing our kids, raising them. And our responsibility has been abdicated. And we wonder, don't we, why are we losing our kids? You know, why are so many kids being brought up, you know, and then they know about God? Some of the kids grow up in church and they leave. Is there anything that's more heartbreaking than that? I don't think so. Usually it's because they haven't been nurtured. And we want to blame it on other stuff, but in the end, generally that's the problem. One of the two problems. One, nurture. So we need to give time to them. It's just that simple, you know. You say, well, man, I wish my dad would have spent more, or my mom would have, and we sort of go back to our childhood. Well, that doesn't mean that it's okay for us to abdicate our responsibility. Let's go ahead and decide we're going to be godly, even though maybe we didn't have the best situation. God, now we know what God wants us to do. And to me, this is so simple, but Paul is like pinpointed. Parents, you want to raise your kids and for God and for a high percentile, not lose them, do this. But it's going to require sacrifice because we do have lives that we want to do and our kids aren't included with it. And we have a tendency to spend all our time doing other stuff and the kids are just in the way. And that's dangerous. And we abdicate our responsibility by letting somebody else nurture them. If the public school, moms and dads, look at this, listen. If the public school is nurturing, if you are letting the public school educate your children and you're putting no effort in it, then this going to create a big problem. God wants you to do this. That word nurture literally means to train them by way of physical and education, which implies both spiritual and just in life. So we're talking about the whole raising of your children. The education falls on you. And we might say, well, you know, I'm going to let the public school do that. And they learn things at the public school. But in the end, you're responsible for their education. You're the one who's nurturing them, or you're supposed to be the one who is in charge of their education. I'm not saying that every parent needs to homeschool. I'm not saying that. But here, what I am saying is, let's not be involved. Let's not abdicate the responsibility and decide not to be involved. Don't do that. Be involved with this process. We're in trouble if we aren't teaching our children and we're letting the world do this. We're in trouble. It also means that you take care of them physically and spiritually. So teach them manners. Teach them hygiene. Teach them how to take care of themselves. Teach your kids to brush their teeth. Teach your kids to, you know, wear deodorant. Listen, don't wear the same clothes for a week, you know, or multiple days. I mean, anyway, I'll let you deal with that, moms and dads, but listen, if they take their socks off and they are still standing up, they shouldn't be wearing those, okay? Those things need to be put in the trash probably. They have passed the point of no return. And they start walking around, you're in big trouble. Teach them hygiene. Teach them faithfulness to God. Did you know that these things are going to have to be caught and not just with words? I mean, you're going to have to demonstrate these things. Teach them faithfulness to God. Yeah. Teach them how to be godly in developing a relationship with the opposite sex. Did you know that your kids, as they become teens, and I'm praising the Lord, my oldest is 10, gross. I'm thankful for that. But sad to say, it's going to be before I know it, right? They're going to be like, ooh, you know, interested, very interested. So who's going to teach them how to do that? Who's going to, moms and dads? We're not just talking about literal moms and dads, because we have several moms and dads tonight. But this is everybody who is influencing any kid that comes to this church. So we all need to be involved with this process. Okay, so our kids need to learn how to be godly and pick out godly relationships. And then when they have a relationship, be godly. How do you do that? How do you know you're in a godly relationship? And how do you know you're being godly in this relationship? Listen, I'm not the guy that says, if you're in a relationship, God is going to strike you. Don't be in a relationship. It's fairly natural for guys to like girls and girls to like guys. That's fairly natural. I'm thankful for that, okay? They just need to know how to do it right. And if we're not teaching them, question. And I want moms and dads to answer this, no kids, okay? Unless it's so obvious, you know. But if you're not teaching them, who is? The world, you got it. They're learning it at the public school. They're learning it in one of the movies they watch. They're learning it, the social media that they're doing. They're seeing lots of stuff on there. And they have lots of friends that are dating and doing it wrong. So they know what the world's doing. And if you don't teach them how to do it godly and not to get involved with the sexual stuff, if you're not teaching them this, then they will do it because that's what the world is teaching them. And so we need to be involved with the nurturing aspect of our kids. In every aspect of their walk, physically, spiritually. We say, Pastor, I don't know how. You say, I want to teach my kids how to have a relationship that's godly and do all these things, but I don't know how to do it. Well, why don't you talk to your pastor? Just come to me. Listen, I can help you through this. But we need counsel on this. So invest in your children, and you'll do this by spending time with them, teaching them about life and how to make godly decisions. Number two, write this if you would. The overall thought there is from the scripture is admonition of the Lord. But write this. Number two, to be fully invested in the maturing of your children, to be fully invested. Number two, and it's the same first statement of the first one, to be fully invested in the maturing of your children. Here's what it is. Keep God number one. Keep God number one. That sort of automatically assumes that nothing else takes God's place, right? Keep God number one. That's literally what admonition of the Lord means. The phrase admonition means exhortation. Put it together with of the Lord, and it means exhortation toward obedience to God. In other words, you are a servant, little s, to the master, capital M. Servant to the master, Teach your children. Point them in that direction. Keep God number one. That's nurturing. That's training them up and bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord. It means nothing comes before God. Nothing takes God's place. Are there any perfect parents here tonight? Anybody who'd be willing to lift your hand and say, we are perfect. If you want to know how to do it right, just watch us. Yeah, Brother Chad and Miss Chelsea, perfect parents right there. Amen. Yep. Wait till you have kids. It's all out of the water after that. Parents who are faithful to God, no matter where you are on the scale here, whether you think you're a good parent or not, doesn't matter. If you keep God, number one, if you're faithful to God as most important in your life, and you teach your children to be faithful to God, then what you're doing is you're transferring godliness into them. You are teaching them that nothing ever in your life, ever, is more important than God. Hey, Dad, I just had a quick question, Dad. Is there anything in my life that's more important than God? No, nothing. What does that mean? That means God's number one. Does that mean that we're going to do anything else instead of being where God wants us to be? No, because God's number one. They get that from you. And if it's important to you, if God's number one to you, then God's going to naturally be important number one to them. That's admonition of the Lord. God's number one. So this is simple. This is clear. I mean, we're determining to fully invest ourselves in our children. And by, you know, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, what we're doing is we're spending time teaching them about life and how to be godly. And we're making God number one. And if you don't do both of those, then there's a chance, then you're missing out on the two most important things that will develop your children and in their life cause them along the way to make a decision. I love God and I want to be faithful to God. And God's number one to me. Yeah. So instead of blowing up on them, like he warned in the beginning, choose to invest in them. Spend time with them, which can be challenging. My wife today, you know, and I were, Ethan had the dentist appointment yesterday, and he did really well, and I took the day, and we went, and so we were all together with that, because, you know, we put him out, it's a nervous thing, so it was good, and it was good that I went, because just some of the things was good that we were both there, and, you know, so went through that whole process. They weren't fully prepared with one of the things they needed to do to his teeth. And so he had to go back today, which is a bummer going all the way back to Kansas City. But I couldn't make it there today. Had to, you know, work today. So she got up 5 this morning, got everything ready, left the house at 6, took Ethan with her. And so they went, they accomplished, he did really good. And I was really proud of him for, you know, getting through that and did, you know, really great. After she was done, she was leaving. Maybe they gave him a certain medicine or something, but he was wound for sound. He wouldn't stop talking. And finally, you know, it was like 2:00 in the afternoon, and she had to make a couple stops, and she messaged me and she says, he won't stop talking. Like, I'm going out of my mind. He won't stop talking. And she's, you know, sends me a few emojis that goes along with that. So I had the other three. And I just messaged her back, and I was teasing, of course. And I said, well, it's a good thing these other three are really quiet. And we got a big laugh out of that. Did you know that spending a lot of time with your kids can be hard? Because they can just really get to you. And you're going to go out of your mind. Like, I'm going to go out of my mind right now. Somebody's going to die. I'm going to go to jail forever, you know? Investing in your children, it requires sacrifices. But listen, if you don't decide to stop blowing up on them and start investing in them instead by nurturing them and then bringing them up by nurturing them and in the admonition of the Lord, God's number one, and spending time with them, then as they develop and as they grow, if you abdicate that because you're annoyed and you're irritated and you don't want to be around them, you know, so you pass them off. You keep pass. Listen, it becomes a habit, doesn't it? So that along the way, you've just created a habit that you've not invested in them. and you've abdicated all of your authority, and now you're just passing them off, guess what? They're not going to come to you anymore. Because you're not even their parent anymore. They're getting all of their training from somebody else, from something else, which is really scary. And along the way, somewhere there's going to be a line that's going to get crossed. And we as parents, if we love our children and we're godly and we don't want to see our kids fall off the track, when we see that, oh man, there's a line crossed here, then we try to fix what's already broken and cannot be fixed because they are already raised by something else. I want to encourage you to go ahead and decide that you moms and dads aren't going to let it get to that point. You're going to invest, even though you might have to take a few extra Advil or something. You're going to invest yourself. You're going to spend time with them. You're going to make God number one, and you're going to do your very best to help them to see that God's number one by teaching them. Admonition of the Lord. Nurture. Bring them up. Invest in them. Spend time with them. I mean, listen, let's teach our children and invest our lives in them. And then we'll see one day, I believe this, that we'll see our kids raised one day and continue for God. These kids here, teens, amen. What about these kids? What about all 27 of them? They don't go home with you. We say amen to that, right? They don't go home with you, but can you invest in them? Or can you abdicate that? Can you push them off? Can you yell at them? Or can you invest in them by teaching them? Oh no, it's not good to get up and walk out during church. No, it's not good to do that. It distracts. So let's not do that. And we've got to be patient, don't we? But we can all get involved with this process, all of us, and raise these kids for God. And here's what you'll be blessed. I know this, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed to watch your kids raise and live for God if you do these two things. But if you decide to do these two things for these little kids that you still have opportunity to do this with as a member of this church, can you imagine like in 5 or 6 years when these kids are making decisions on what they're going to do with their life, 16, 17, 18 years old, they're making decisions, that one of them comes up here and says, God wants me to be a pastor or a missionary and live for God. Or just one of them says, I want to be whatever God wants them to be, and then they just surrender, and you're going to be a part of that. Well, that's going to be an exciting day. So let's make a decision tonight. Let me give you a statement, and you can mark this, and we'll be done. This is our final statement. Parents, invest in your children. Let's decide to do that. Father, tonight we pray that you'll, Lord, bless this church and help us to go ahead and decide today that we're going to invest in these kids. There isn't anybody here that doesn't struggle with this at times, Lord. It's just not easy. It's not easy for anybody. So I pray you'd help us to go ahead and decide to do this for you. And Lord, we'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name.